Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that wonderful name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And on yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing a message entitled The Light of the Soul. And there's a saying that the eyes are the window of the soul, and so we are looking at Scripture to say what the Scriptures have to say about eyes, our eyes and the eyes of the Lord. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, he was speaking figuratively, he said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. He was speaking to his disciples, and he was saying that the eye in this context was an avenue of moral perception or an illustration of our mind. And we're going to spend some time in the Song of Solomon, which is basically a love poem, a lyric poem in dialogue form describing King Solomon's love for a Shulamite girl. And of course, this references also the relationship, the holy love that exists between God and his chosen people, the Jews, or between the bridegroom, which is Christ, and his beloved bride, which is the church or body of Jesus Christ, consisting of Jew and Gentile. Now, haven't we all felt the power of the eye? It's powerful, isn't it? A child's eye, for example, if they're expecting and waiting on something, and if they're not able to have it, their eye so darkens with disappointment that what do? Sometimes we break down and indulge their desire. Pets have a way of doing that to us too. Or suppose you're visiting a sick person, and as you're getting ready to leave, they look so sadly at you that you sort of turn back and lengthen your visit. The eyes of those we love master us. You know, does a loved one start to cry? And what do? Especially men. If it's a woman crying, they yield at once. And we just can't endure the fact that someone we love is crying. Whether we caused it or some other situation, we want to comfort. We don't want to see that kind of sorrow. And I would like now to just turn to, if you would, if you have your Bibles, turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verse 5. This is the Lord speaking, and he says, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is like the flock of goats that appear from Gilead. And he goes on to a description of how he finds her beauty and how attractive she is. And I want to share other translations. The Living Bible says, look the other way, for your eyes have overcome me. The NIV says, turn your eyes from me, they overwhelm me. The Amplified says, turn away your flashing eyes from me, for they've overcome me. And, there's a couple other versions I want to share. Revised Standard, turn away your eyes from me, for they disturb me. And the New American Standard, turn your eyes away from me, for they've confused me. I'm sorry, I sometimes have so little tolerance for other translations. Do you really think the Lord Jesus Christ would be disturbed or confused by his bride looking at him? I don't think so. That's why my Bible is the authorized King James Bible. But, this I believe is, you know, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. They have overwhelmed me. That's the sense. Now, the point is, can we relate to that? How many of you have ever been head over heels in love? You know, I can relate personally to this scripture. I mean, there was a period in my time, in my life, I was so in love. It was just like the Song of Solomon. And when someone you love so deeply, so passionately looks at you, you can't experience that being overwhelmed. Only those who have been radically, drastically, incredibly head over heels in love perhaps can relate to this. But the most incredible and amazing thing about this verse, the realization of this scripture, is that actually the Lord is talking about his response to us, his beloved bride. Matthew Henry says, "Christ is pleased to borrow these expressions of a passionate lover to express the tenderness of a compassionate redeemer and the delight that he takes in his redeemed and in the workings of his own grace in them." I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to conceive, difficult really for us to imagine the loving heart of Jesus, which is so readily overcome by the love of his chosen one. That's staggering. That's amazing when you think about it. And when you look at this, I want to share some reasons why the church has overcome the heart of the Lord Jesus. And we can learn some remarkable things from this comment of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he left heaven to be one with her. Isn't that true? He could not bear to see her ruin. The scripture tells us he knows us from before the foundation of the earth. He knew before the world was created those who would be part of his family, his beloved children. But he also knew what our first parents, the sin that they would commit, the estrangement, the death, the sorrow and suffering that would enter the world because of sin. And he made a purpose to do something about it. Hebrews 2:11 says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name," speaking of the Father, "unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." So Jesus couldn't bear to see his people lost in the captivity of Satan, bound in the kingdom of darkness, but he left his Father that he might share her lot. Is there a love any more beautiful than that? And he expressed that in the outpouring of his life, his very life for her. He died to redeem her. He was found guilty, if you will, of excess love. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus has called us friends. He delights in his church, his bride. Right now, she's lovely in his sight. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4, he declares, "You are beautiful, my love, beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, captivating as an army with banners." Tirzah is, that used to be formerly in the very beginning, a capital of the northern kingdom. But he says, "You're beautiful, you're lovely as Jerusalem, you're captivating as an army with banners." And his eternal joy is to spring from her. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save and he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Jesus is so overcome by the love of his beloved that he still gives all that he has to her. What does Romans 8:17 say? "For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Isn't that true in the natural? If a family has an inheritance to leave their children, well, that inheritance belongs to the children. Maybe not when the parents are alive, but when their parents, you know, in their will or probate or however it's done, leave their inheritance, well, then that goes to the children. But even more staggering than that, thinking about, he's given us richly all things to enjoy. Think about that. What does that mean? You know, if we would just meditate on Scripture, so often we read it, we're blessed by it, but if we really start to think about it, that's when revelation comes. Remember recent broadcast I shared about mutter? It means to speak aloud, to talk to yourself, to mutter, to think about the wonderful things of God. And as we think about that, he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But aside from giving us everything, all the things that we could possibly want or desire, the fact is he's given us his own self. Think about that. In Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. The Lord Jesus Christ is ours. What an amazing, powerful thought that the Lord who laid down his life for us loves us so much, and he's given us not only every good blessing, but he's given us his very self, his very life, his all that he is. That's what a marriage is, isn't it? They're, the two become one flesh, and I believe we're going to experience in the eons of eternity such a oneness and a beauty with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our Father, because when you think about it, this is God's plan from the very beginning. He never wanted that beautiful fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve to be broken. But now, as I've often thought of it, we've tasted of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've tasted the consequences of that bitter fruit. He never wanted us to, but now that we have, we've had a chance to choose. We've been given free will, and we readily and eagerly and freely choose the wonderful salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beauty there is waiting for us. And not only that, even in this present life, we can comfort ourselves, encourage ourselves by just thinking about these kinds of things. This is why I've wanted to bring this message, just to, you know, it's sort of a departure from the things I've been sharing recently, but it helps us to focus and have an eternal perspective. And that's my desire, to give you, for the life that you're going through right now, a sense of eternity, where you're headed, a lifetime, an endless life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, I need to bring this broadcast to a close. We're going to continue right on tomorrow. Please join me. Thank you for your prayer support as well as your financial blessings. Because of the faithful partners of UCM, we've been able to continue on almost 50 years in continuous ministry. Thanks for listening. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,